This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad that you've tuned us in, and we trust that the program will bless you and encourage you and perhaps even challenge you. And for those of you who would like to contact me, again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program. The website has this program on it. You can re-listen to it there. It has a weekly meditation there. And either through regular mail or through the website, you can contact me with prayer requests or comments on the program. So if you want those addresses, you'll need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, we've been taking a journey through the Bible, taking each book by itself, but trying to put the books in a context so that we can understand how much of the principles of those books, particularly in the Old Testament, apply to us in the New. But my concern has been in doing this series is that too many people are listening to favorite preachers, are listening to preachers that tell them what they want to hear, and they're not actually going back to the Bible to find out what God has said. And I do believe the Bible was written in such a way that the intelligent person can get a basic understanding of what God has said. Again, we would mention that we're not Jews, and we've been going through the Old Testament, and so much of the Old Testament applies to the Jewish nation, which was a people who had a physical land with physical promises, and they were a physical people. That is, they existed as a people with a land and promises for that land. But we're a spiritual people in the New Testament with spiritual promises and a spiritual land. Some of the principles apply and often are made to apply in the New Testament. For example, we saw in the book of Habakkuk the statement, the just shall live by faith. And we see that used three times in the New Testament, the just shall live by faith. First, it's those who are justified shall live by faith. And then it's the just shall live by faith and not by the law. And then the just shall live by faith, as the Old Testament saints, heroes of the faith did. And so we have the emphasis on how to be justified and live by faith and how not to be using the law to try to get ourselves right with God, because we live by faith, by grace in Galatians, and that's where that is found. And then we come to the book of Hebrews and find out that faith was the way in which the Old Testament saints pleased God as well. And so we have to have faith that, first of all, in the Lord in order to be saved, and then we have to have continuing faith in His promises in order to enjoy fellowship with Him. So we see how that Old Testament principle is brought into the New Testament. What we're going to see in the book of Zephaniah is the statement of the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord has been, I've dealt with that before in this series, because that phrase comes up time and time again. But it's found a number of times in the book of Zephaniah. It was found in the book of Joel. And so the day of the Lord is a day when God intervenes in judgment. And so while we know that there's things that happen in this world that we don't understand and we don't know why God has allowed them, there always comes a point where God takes control of the situation and limits what can happen and intervenes because of what has happened. When we say God is in control, I'm always a little hesitant about that, because I don't like to believe that in any way God has caused sin. And sin is rampant. But God is in control in the sense that there's always going to be judgment upon sin. And so if that's what you mean when you say God is in control, that's fine. But to say that God is in control and was the author of what happened on 9/11, or is the author of the pandemic that's taking place now, I always cringe a little at that. It may be true, particularly with the pandemic. But again, there's things like that that are taking place just because sin came into the world, and God did not cause sin. He allowed it. But now the day of the Lord comes when he judges the people that are caught up in the sin that this world seems to be so deliciously enjoying. So as I look at the day of the Lord, it's the day when God does take control of the affairs of men and begins to judge them for their sin. And when we're looking at it in the book of Zephaniah, it has to do with the fact that he wrote, Zephaniah wrote during Josiah's reign. Habakkuk wrote probably after Josiah's reign, when people had departed again from the Lord. But during Josiah's reign, there was a revival. And Zephaniah wrote during that reign. If we were to go back into the book of the Kings, 2 Kings chapter 22, we would find out that Josiah, though he had started reigning as an 8-year-old, he apparently had come to know the Lord, and they were cleansing the temple and trying to reestablish godly worship in the land of Judah. And in cleansing the temple, they found the book of the law of the Lord there. Isn't it interesting that it had been lost in the place where they were supposed to be worshiping God? And sometimes I think that we've lost the Bible in the places where we claim to be honoring it today. But nevertheless, they found it, they read it, and they found out that God was going to bring judgment on Judah because of the way in which the people had turned to idols. And so Josiah says in 2 Kings chapter 22, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written in it." And so Josiah had taken to heart what had been written in that book, and likely that was the cause of the revival that occurred during his days. And so today, when we look at our situation, we know that there was a fulfillment of the day of the Lord when Babylon took control, or came in and was victorious over the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and took them into captivity. But that isn't the end of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord now has a further consequence and a further fulfillment when we come to the period when God is going to judge the world for having rejected his Son, and that hasn't happened yet. And so things are happening today in this church age's day of grace, which some would say God has completely in his control, and he could have if he wanted to. He's the sovereign, but he lets people make their own decisions, and they go astray, and they, of course, went astray to the point of crucifying his Son. And then we come into the day of grace that we call the church age, and during this day, people are making up their own mind about what pleases God and who God is. The day is going to come when God is going to fulfill this topic called the day of the Lord. The Lord will come to remove his own, his church, his believers, from the great day of wrath that's going to come, and then he's going to start taking control and intervening and judging the earth, just as he judged Judah during the days of Zephaniah. And so Zephaniah may very well have helped proclaiming the coming judgment of God and bringing about the revival in Josiah's day. But what I take away from this is that when we preach the gospel, we have to preach the coming judgment upon sin and upon sinners who reject Christ. If you notice, Jonah, when we were looking at Jonah, he preached just 8 words. "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." He preached judgment. He never preached that there was a means of salvation. But what happened? The Ninevites, realizing that what Jonah was preaching was because of their sin, they repented. They turned from their evil way. They turned to the Lord. And because they turned to the Lord, they turned from their evil way and they were saved. In other words, when they realized that God meant what he said with regard to judgment, they also knew that God was merciful and gracious and that he would repent of the evil if they would turn to him and trust him. And so we see that down through the ages, that if we preach judgment, then people who believe in the judgment of God will come and find the salvation of God. And I've said over the years that we need to preach, and I believe that the gospel is good news, and we need to preach the good news how that Christ died for sinners and how that believing in him saves us from our sin and from an eternity in hell in the lake of fire. I believe we need to preach that, but we can't avoid preaching about this place that in Matthew, God calls a place where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. When we come to the book of Revelation, it's the lake of fire. And when we look at where the beast and the false prophet end up in the book of the Revelation, we find the smoke of their torment ascends day and night forever and ever, and unbelievers are cast into that same place with Satan, who is out trying to get men and women to rebel against God today. And when he gets them to rebel against God, they end up with the judgment that was prepared for the devil and his angels and not for mankind. So what I'm saying is that if we believe that God is a righteous God and that he's going to judge sin, he may allow a lot of sin before he judges it, but if we believe that he's going to judge sin, people who come to that conclusion will also come to the Bible and find out that there is salvation for those who come to Christ. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so we need to emphasize that the day of the Lord is coming upon this earth. And there's going to be an eternal separation from God for those who turn away from him now in this life and go their own way. There's only one way to God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And if you've never believed that the day of the Lord is coming, believe it. It came for the children of Israel when Babylon came in and destroyed them. It came when Titus destroyed Jerusalem. And it's coming again, but it's going to come on the whole earth. And those who die without Christ will understand something of those judgments as well in a spiritual sense. So friend, we need to flee from the wrath to come. And thank God the Lord Jesus is a harbor in the day of trouble. He's a refuge in the day of trouble. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson today. Bless those who have listened. Guide us into all truth. Help those who are not saved to understand their need and to turn to the Savior who's gracious and righteous and wants to save. Now we give thanks for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.